Scare Guys show. We're so glad you guys are with us today. I got a question for you. What if Jumanji was a drinking game? In the brand new film Gatlop, a group of old friends reunite for a nostalgic evening of fun and games after a decade of being apart. They decide to play a drinking game, but it quickly reveals that this game comes with supernatural stakes. Mischief leads to mayhem, and the group realizes that if they cannot come together to win the game by sunrise, they will be forced to play for all eternity in hell. This week on the Scare Guys show, we are talking about this brand new film. My name is Jim Fry. I'm a screenwriter and one of your hosts of the Scare Guy. With me today are my co-hosts, Patrick and Luke. You guys introduce yourselves, starting with Patrick.
Patrick Joseph Rieger, actor, musician, and former tap teacher in Los Angeles, California.
Patrick's also a musician. This is Band Whiskey Sunday. Rocking a shirt. But I'm a Cheeseman, screenwriter as well, and one of the founding members of The Scare Guy Show and the ScareGuy.com.
All right. And our special guests for this episode are Alberto Belli, the director of Gatlop, and Jim Maloney, the writer and actor in the film. Both of you, welcome to the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And it's Jim Mahoney. Maloney's my alter ego. He's the one that's he's breaking furniture and burning things down in the next room. So I will be here representing Jim Maloney.
But I'm so sorry. No, my cousin's last name is Maloney, so I just completely got that messed up. My bad. And Luke, we're going to edit that
totally
out.
Fine.
So Albert and Jim, so glad to have you here on the Scare Guys show. If we can start with Albert and then move over to Jim, if you guys can just tell us a little bit about your background in filmmaking.
Yeah, I'm Alberto. I'm from Mexico. I used to be a computer science engineer, and I transitioned to directing. I moved to LA to study film school at USC. I used to be a computer science engineer before, and I always wanted to make people laugh, and that's the reason I became a filmmaker. So hopefully people will have a good laugh with this movie. Yeah.
Jim.
I am originally from Edina, Minnesota. For all those that don't know, it's the evil hockey team in the Mighty Ducks. That's right.
You're a cake eater?
Are you from there?
I'm from South Minneapolis. I was watching my twin brother.
Look at this.
You like guacamole?
Look at this. Yeah, so I grew up in Minnesota. I went to school in Colorado. Initially, the plan was to work in psychology. That didn't stick. And so I started doing comedy out there, moved to LA to work as an actor, couldn't get work as an actor. So I started writing my own stuff with my buddy, Zach Lewis. We wrote a bunch of web series shorts, got into feature films, got into animation a little bit, wrote a movie called Klaus that did all right. And then I wanted to do something. I wanted to branch out and write a little more weirder stuff. So I approached Alberto with a fun live action comedy. And this is what brings us all here together today.
By the way, don't downplay Klaus. It did really well on Netflix. It was a big film. So a great big animated feature. Congratulations on that, by the way.
I loved it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm going to ask one question and then I'm going to pitch it over to Luke and Patrick to walk us through this. If you can just kind of set the table for us, tell us about this film that you guys have created and where the idea came from.
Oh, yeah. I can kind of tell you how it gestated and then hand it over to Alberto. But like on like a Friday night, like 10 years ago, I was meeting some friends to go meet at one dude's house and then go hit the town. And at my friend's place, he's like, do you guys want to play a game before we go out? So he whips out this weird drinking game. And after like all of a sudden, before we knew it, it was 4 hours later. And my buddy's wife was walking in like, you guys are supposed to go out. Like you were supposed to leave, like get the hell out of our house. And so we just had such a fun time, like tearing at each other that we stayed there all night. And my warped brain was like, what if this was a trick? Like, what if it like lured us in and like fooled us into thinking this was a good time, and then like we had to battle our way out. And so that's where the idea came from. I met with Alberto. We worked on a short film that did pretty well, this crazy viral video, and then I pitched him this idea for a feature that we could do in low budget. He was like, he was the first person to go, oh yeah. And so I wrote the script from there and kept passing on drafts to Alberto to help me like get it to that finish line.
All right. Yeah. Alberto, what'd you think about it once you got it?
I loved it. I thought it was so, it's so smart, like, because a lot of the times we're thinking, like, how can you make something like sci-fi without the budget of like millions of dollars? And I think what Jim did brilliantly was trust the acting, you know, like, how can you use the acting to create something sci-fi rather than relay on like, you know, huge effects? So like, I was like very impressed how he was able to use the acting skills, you know. I'm not going to spoil it, all the stuff that he did, but like, I think it was a very smart way to do it. So I was very engaged the first time he sent me the first draft. Yeah.
And they were very sloppy drafts, by the way. Like, he was very helpful reading very messy drafts up until what came to be the finished product. He was instrumental in kind of pushing the story along the way.
Awesome.
We do a good partnership.
Now, you guys had a fun little ensemble cast of, you know, the four of you playing this game. Did you guys all know each other before, or how did the casting process work for this project?
We did not know each other before. Sorry, I thought I was going to leave it to Alberto. We did not know each other before. We actually, we initially started the casting process in end of February, early March of 2020. And obviously something happened mid-March, so shut down the movie. Unfortunately, and the world was opening up a little bit, we went back into casting, but it was all over Zoom. And luckily, we had a lot of great actors really respond to the script, and so we had all these great meetings, albeit all over Zoom. But we had great meetings with Emmy, and then Sharonis and John, and I was with Alberto for a lot of these, and there was like there was a great connection between us individually. But it was just, we knew their work, obviously, from, you know, from Miracle Workers, Insecure, and Umbrella Academy. Alberto's a huge Umbrella Academy fan, so mm-hmm. he was very, very excited to work with Emmy. Yeah, but he was great. Yeah.
Patrick.
Alberto, I don't know if you want to chime in on that at all or not.
No. I mean, that's a story. And I think, like, one of the very few positive things about the pandemic is because the actors, you know, nothing was shooting at the time. So we were able to get like these actors who usually wouldn't be able to do this kind of like indie movies because of the scheduling conflicts and the series and stuff. So that was kind of amazing about this whole thing postponing. So, and the chemistry was awesome. So I feel very lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luke has very adeptly addressed the first part of my question. And guys, I thought you cast it perfectly. But I got to ask, one of the themes is so deeply ingrained in betrayal amongst family and friends. Like, these guys have been friends for a very long time. And speaking from the point of view of an actor who I've done a few movies that were kind of like The Big Chill. I just liken it to The Big Chill. Only this one has got a lot of funny moments, a lot of horror moments. And you guys weren't pals before shooting. You did create, either in the script or on set, flying by the seat of your moments, perfect chemistry between these people. Now, why so many lies and betrayal? What did you want to say something about friends who've lied to each other over the years as much as have fun and do a horror comedy?
Like, you had to put in some of psychology, you know, into this.
But without giving any of the plot away.
I guess how much, right. how did you avoid a kind of soap opera-y quality? Because I truly believe these people love each other and have hurt each other deeply. And by the way, I thought the time jumping was very clean.
Oh,
into memory. Thank you. Into memory. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. I think I'm always drawn to more. I like complex characters. I like the idea of, I don't think anything is clean cut in a lot of storytelling. I feel that's like very much like you design a character and you stay that lane and you don't really adjust it. But I find that people are more complicated than that. And I also try to start with what is a kernel of truth, whether it's something that I've experienced or someone very close to me. And then as the story starts to develop, you find which flaw in the character, which strength do they have serves the story overall better. And I think this, like you said, like the theme is very much about betrayal in a sense, because I think all of us have friends that know us better than anybody, but we have a secret with those friends. Like, we have something, and we've all kind of hurting the people that you love is not anything new. I just tried to find a way to do it with people that seem to get along so well, because I feel like it's a natural flaw in our design to where people, even if you are like you repartee, it's rapid fire dialogue back and forth, you love all the same things, there's something you haven't told that person. And trying to find it in a way where I love these people, but I love them more for having the mistake. And it's just a matter of finding the right mistake or flaw that fits the narrative and fits all four of them. That's a messy way of answering your question, but I guess I'd like the complex characters and answers.
But me too.
Go on.
Me too.
Now, did like kind of with that, did you talked about kind of the game idea coming from you, kind of like not quite making it out right away because you're playing this game and you guys were just having so much fun partying. Was there other aspects from your life or like moments you might have incorporated in this film?
Oh, absolutely. The Braveheart moment, which people will see, came from a thing that happened at one of my friend's parties. 100%. Let's see here. There's quite a bit that came from real events, a lot of conversations that I've either had or witnessed. And then again, it's a matter of making it fit the character, but there's a lot for sure. The game came from like a combination of multiple games I loved that were all social games. You know, it's like Cards Against Humanity, it's Jumanji, it's Cranium, it's this game called Quelf, which is so much fun and so stupid. And it's just getting people to like open up, like any kind of. Alcohol is a social lubricant, so then you add like a fun game component. I just love seeing all the pitfalls. And then I tried as best I could to always have a joke or a surprise or add mystery at the end of every scene as best I can.
Awesome.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Jim, this one's specific for you, and then and Alberto. Like you, Jim, you wrote the script. What was it like writing for yourself as opposed to writing for actors? And if you were not the writer, I would, as an actor, I'd say, what drew you to the script? So what is it about this script that you wrote to make actors want to take part in the script?
I tried as best I could to have it be as fun as possible. I love the stories where people that have no business in high stakes environments have to survive in a high stakes environment. I find that to be the most fun. Like watching This Is the End, I was like, I loved it so much because it was these guys, they all deserve to go to hell. Like all of them deserve to be ripped to pieces. And so when the rapture happens, like, of course, they're the ones that have to somehow figure out how to get out of it. And then I love a lot of this is the voice of me and my friends that like how we would probably respond to these crazy things. So I tried to think about what would make me have the most fun portraying and every version of it. And I think of my friends too, like because I have a lot of friends that are performers. And I was thinking like, what would they love to do if they were stuck in a room for, you know, stuck in a house for a month to film something, what would be the most fun for the people that I know? So that was, I think, always like a sentiment as I went through the script.
Patrick, right. Do you have another one you'd like to ask?
Yeah, Jim and Alberto, you guys make a lot of kind of veiled comments about the city of Los Angeles in sometimes grumpy ways. We were picking up on that last night. What is the character of Los Angeles? Why was that a character in your movie? Why?
I think for me, I think LA is an easy target for everybody. I mean, I think that everybody, they can show in LA. I always think of this great article that I read of a comedian when she was somewhere in the States and said that she lives in LA and the audience was like, we're sorry. And she was like, yeah, LA sucks at a lot of the time, but LA is also great for a whole bunch of reasons. But she put it best, which was like, LA doesn't, what was it? In LA, you ain't shit. Like LA doesn't give a shit about you, but if you can find your LA, it's wonderful. And so I think that that's, it's always a friend and a villain to me. And I think it works in stories.
Absolutely.
Alberto, can you talk
on LA, Alberto?
Yeah.
Talk about, I don't, for me, I guess like what's interesting is it was like a making quote unquote a horror because it's not really a horror, but like a horror movie in Venice. I haven't seen that, like in a beach house kind of vibe and like, how would it look like? And then kind of like Jim said, like, I think in LA, you can find any kind of people, right? Like everyone is so unique. And I think that's the reason it attracts a lot of people come to LA because you can be whoever you want to be and there's no judgments or no one cares about who you are or whatever. So I think that makes it easy to create characters that are memorable and probably haven't seen anywhere mm-hmm. else, right? Like you would do a movie in Mexico where I'm from, like everyone will be very the same person, but like LA gives a flavor of any kind of person ever existed if you wanted to. Yeah.
And I think one more thing to that, I think LA is a gauntlet in itself, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like LA, if you can get through what is the difficult parts of this city, you can strike gold in whatever it is that you want to, whether it be friendship, whether it be lifelong friendships, relationships, or work, or other kinds of satisfaction. I think LA is its own form of a gauntlet.
Gosh, if you can just make it through rush hour, you can make it here in LA sometimes.
We barely survive many nights.
Alberto, I've got a question about directing the film. You really did capture a sense of claustrophobia much of the film. Can you talk about what it was like? Because this is, for lack of a better term, almost like a single site thriller, you know? And that's great for it's an independent film. Can you talk about the challenges of making this film there?
Yeah, I mean, we wanted the house to be big enough for COVID because, started the COVID, but, not too big to make it unbelievable, like Cleve would actually be able to afford living there, and not too small where, like, we couldn't feed the crew and the cast. So we had to find, we were very lucky to find this house. Actually, I think it was, Studio City, maybe? I think, right, Jim? Is that Venice?
It's like North Hollywood, I think. But yeah, it was definitely not Venice.
we couldn't afford it. And then it was also interesting how to block the actors in these, like most of the movie happens also in a couch. And how do you keep it interesting and doesn't feel repetitive, like for people sitting on a couch? And then how do you move them from one place to another places while keeping it entertaining and hopefully, like you said, claustrophobic? And that was the fun part of it. Like, how do you keep switching them, how they sit? And then according to the conflict, that was a lot of the things that we did. Like if you see the movie, you will see like people who are like in front of each other, we will make them sit in front of each other and then they do something else. And then they sit on another way to be able to also help us with the shooting because it was very limited time to shoot four characters all the time. So a lot of the coverage was done in like a banner or something like that to make sure that we got through the day. Yeah.
Patrick.
I loved seeing, speaking of the house, I thought it was a beautiful house, and I just was so tickled. I know it's very simple, but I'm a big fan of going back into the memory of characters and letting that be in. As a theater actor, I hate exposition with all of my heart. I think it's very hard to do exposition. I hate when writers overwhelm us with an exposition on stage, and I've written a few scripts where I try to avoid it like the plague. In film, it's a little bit easier to get away with tasteful exposition. And when I was watching this movie last night, I thought, this is an exposition. We need to time travel with these characters to get to know their relationships. And you guys did it just perfectly. It was clean. Mm-hmm. It wasn't obnoxious. I even loved how you'd go from the house in the midst of a party 10 years ago to the house tonight. That was just simple and clean and lovely. And it also spoke to why have these people stayed friends? They keep taking advantage of this poor guy who's not immersed in the relationship drama. And he has a lovely house, and they keep like going through evolutions as sometimes, difficult human beings through this one house. I just love that. I love it.
Right. And we always have that one friend, right, that is like, he never wants the party to end. And he's always, doors are always open. Like, I have a few friends. I got one that lives very close to me now that's just like, I'll just keep hanging out, like, forever. Like, and it's great. But he became like that house. I think I had it in college. I have different versions of that in different parts of LA when I was living there, where it's always the one place where everything kind of ends up, whether it starts there or you start out and then you end up there eventually. But it's like this, what would you call it? Like a amygdala of, or hypothalamus of like your like friend group for the most part.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but for independent filmmaking with shoestring budget, like your one job is to cover that up, and you guys did it. It seemed like the whole point.
And Alberto's genius with the Polaroids was a lot of fun. Like when like, I have this idea with Polaroids. And so we had that weird picture wall, and he was like this, I think that's where that started, right, Alberto? And then you used it for the transitions. Is that how that began?
I think so. Yeah. And then we decided to use that as as a flasher. It'd be kind of
exciting. By the way, let me show the picture wall here that you're talking about. Here's the wall with all the Polaroids on it. It was just kind of great the way you were. Like, I love the beginning, how like we were introduced to each character with a Polaroid. I just thought that was a very clever way to do it. Very economical, a good way to do that. Good job on that. And we are kind of coming up to the end. Cheeseman, do you have kind of like a wrap up question? And then I have one last thing to say here.
Yeah. Like something I've been wanting to talk about, and you know, like you guys did such a cool job from the beginning with the visual effects, like that opening credit scene, and just throughout, like there's a supernatural kind of element to it. Like, tell us about the visual effects, like how that all came about and how you guys just delivered on that so well.
Yeah. I mean, we wanted to use at the very beginning, we wanted to introduce like the game kind of. So the opening title sequence, it's based on like trying to tell the story and then try to set up this, you know, board game. And then the VFX is like, funny enough, we ended up, you know, someone in Mexico did it. Like, I mean, it was like a house here in Santa Monica, but the actual people were doing it were back in Mexico. And then so we were trying to economize again, like, right, like because the budget was not so big, where we're going to use those VFX and where to put all the money in those, try to make them the best possible without going crazy. That kind of where the idea came from. Yeah.
Patrick, any other question before we let these guys go?
I'm full of compliments today and very few questions. I just think Jim and Alberto, I lose focus and I lose attention. My attention goes very fast in thrillers or scary movies because I'm a character-driven storyteller. I just want to know about characters. And I just thought you had the perfect balance between I care about these people and I'm having a really fun time with all these visual effects. It was just a lovely balance. And that's very rare.
Yeah. Thank you. That means a lot.
Such a great comment.
Yeah. All right. The movie is, if you guys can tell us where we can find this movie, when's it available?
June 16th. It'll be on like paid VOD. So I believe iTunes, Amazon, I believe Roku potentially on June 16th.
All right. Gatlop is going to be in your demand in digital listings June 16th. So make sure you guys check it out. It's a riotous ball of laughs and it's a kind of scary. It's kind of weird. Like we didn't really know what to expect. Is this going to be a super scary, but when we saw the trailer, we're like, this looks like a lot of fun. And I think most of all, you can describe it as a fun movie. Guys, thank you so much. Alberto and Jim, thank you for joining us today. Luke and Patrick, thanks for being my co-hosts here on the Scare Guys Show. We hope all you guys get a chance to check out the movie soon. And with that, I'll see you guys later.
Jim.